to the Batmobile. Let's go.
Come on, bub. For old times' sake, huh?
Harley Quinn, nice to meet ya.
Pardon my French. Fuck those fuckers.
Marvel character ever, but you should never meet your heroes because honestly, he's a bit of a dick.
Now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret, Cap.
I am Inevitable Hulk.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Comics in Motion podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris Feltz, and my co-host and very good friend is Mr. Dave Horrocks.
Hi, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Comics in Motion, TV and movie reviews for shows that are based on comic books. Myself, I'll be reviewing from the perspective of a long-time comic book reader.
And I'll be reviewing from the TV and movie perspective.
And what we also like to do here is we also like to spoil the hell out of everything we review. So if you haven't watched our choice of the week, then we'd advise you to proceed with caution. And remember, with an average podcast comes no responsibility. Now, Chris, it's been a little bit probably beyond time that we should have done this. We did the first couple in this trilogy a long time ago, it seems now. But we're finally getting to draw a line under it. So what are we going to review today?
Dave, we are going to review one of my favourite movies ever, The Dark Knight Rises.
Now, I have to say that probably some of my favourite podcasts that we do are when we violently disagree on particular movies. None more so than on our VHS Strikes Back recent podcast that will be out actually probably... When will it release? It might not have released by the time we do this. But anyway, Hawk the Slayer. And that was just so much fun to edit, Chris, and listen back to. And I've got a feeling we are not going to see this one the same. So, I mean, what are your memories of this one?
Well, this one, it sort of coincides with, I said it when we did the Dark Knight review, and I think I told this story. I think it was this one. I don't know if I said it was the Dark Knight, but I went to the cinema to see this day dot, and it was absolutely steaming when this come out. And I remember this is the one day when I said to you, I was at the cinema, and when we were there, it was air conditioning went, and I was sat there 2 hours, 44, 45 minutes this movie's on for, with my shorts stuck to me. And Jordan was only like 12 years old. Sam was there and we were dripping in sweat. And literally the last 40 minutes, Sam and Jordan were like, oh God, how long is left here? Is it going to finish? Is it going to finish? And I was just completely engrossed in it. And I did go outside, Dave, and just say to the manager, that was ridiculous. I want my money back. This is just nonsense. How hot is it? And he went, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, no, but can you come over here? I'll give you a refund. What happened then, Dave, was a couple of people caught the back end of this, and I've told this before, and they decided to kick off as well. So by the time we got our money back, there was about 30, 40 deep of people getting the money back because the aircon had gone. He'd give us free tickets to the next game. So I always remember it for that. However, I was so excited for this movie. Tom Hardy, I'd loved him in Warrior. Some of the other films he'd been in previously. Absolutely love Tom Hardy. He's one of my favourites. And when this was out, The Dark Knight was so good. At the time, The Dark Knight was my favourite. But Dave, I'll be honest with you, going against public opinion, this is my favourite out of the trilogy by a distance.
Yeah.
What about yourself?
So this is where I think we differ. So for me, I mean, around this time, it just feels like... So from 2008 to 2012, so when Dark Knight came out and then Dark Knight Rises came out, 2008, 2012, it feels like it was a bit of a golden time for comic book movies because we'd had, you know, obviously we had the 77 Superman, we'd had the 1989 Batman. These were massive, iconic movies, and we'd had lots of comic book movies since. But on the DC side, you had the Nolan trilogy. And I'm afraid I'm going to swim with the tide on this one. I think Dark Knight is my favorite. Might even be, Chris, one of my favorite all time. Certainly be in my top three comic book movies of all time. Dark Knight Rises, not so much. But of course, in 2012, you had the Avengers coming out as well, didn't you? 2008, you had Iron Man coming out as well. So in and around this time, it seemed to take that cheesy, you know, so most of the comic book movies were pretty bad. And then you'd have the occasional ones, like, say, Batman, like Superman. You'd have the occasional ones that came through and were quite good. We'd obviously been through the whole Batman fall off a cliff with the movies, didn't we, with George Clooney and stuff. But I think with this one, it was so overly hyped. I mean, it was massively hyped, wasn't it? And it was just on the adverts and looked so great. They always were showing, you know, the scene where the floor just drops from the American football game, you know, and all the pitch just disappears and whatever. And it just looked so, so great. But when I got to the cinema and I watched it, I can't even put it into great words, which is great for a review podcast, isn't it? But I'm sure we'll explore, you know, how I feel about it. But there's just something missing from this one that was great in The Dark Knight. Now, obviously, you don't have Heath Ledger's Joker, so that's massively missing. And I'm sure we'll get into Tom Hardy's performance. But I think that took me out of it a little bit straight off the bat. And straight away, I think I was like, oh, I'm not sure about this. And it just continued like that. So I was a bit underwhelmed, but I kind of still appreciate it. But for me, it was a very good try at finishing the trilogy. And, you know, it didn't hit the sweet spot that it obviously does for you. And I'm really excited to speak to you about it so we can find out, okay, what is it that you love about it that I think it's just stuttering a bit? It's not quite hitting the mark for me.
Interesting, Dave. Also, our friendship's balancing on this. If you shit on this movie, Dave, so let's not beat around the bush here. But no, it's funny, isn't it? Because we do that. These movies that I should absolutely love, and I don't. And I've got an argument and a half today, David. I've been waiting for this regarding the best Batman, and it's something that in our group and Comics Emotion Network, in our sort of private DM group, we have that I am literally the only one flying the flag for Christian Bale. But I do have a counter argument for you and all the other guys. So that's definitely coming at some point in this podcast.
I'm interested. Now, Chris, I think we should go into our trailer.
Let's go.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
You are as precious to me as you were to your own mother and father. I swore to them that I would protect you, and I haven't.
The mayor's gonna dump him in the spring.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But he's a hero.
A war hero. This is peacetime.
You think this can last? There's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne. You and your friends better batten down the hatches. Because when it hits, you're all gonna wonder how you ever thought you could live so large and leave so little for the rest of us.
What does that mean?
Rise.
When Gotham is ashes, you have my permission to die.
Now, we are 8 years after The Dark Knight, and we've had the Dent Act being passed, and Batman has basically disappeared from Gotham. Crime, organized crime, has been eradicated from Gotham City thanks to the Dent Act. But we open up with Bane, this mysterious terrorist, and he's the CIA are after him, but he ends up stealing or abducting this physicist, Dr. Leonard Pavel, and sends off the aircraft to its doom. Now, Chris, what do you make to the opening of this one?
Dave, love it. Absolutely love it. I think my mantra, as you know, is with a bad guy. Heath Ledger was amazing in The Dark Knight, without a doubt. I have all three on the trilogy. I love him. I love that movie when we did it. I didn't give it top marks, though, did I? I think I sent it to Atlantis when we did The Dark Knight. And you forgive me.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you never forgive me for that. But that's the point, isn't it? You like that. I think it's a great movie. And I take back my Jack Nicholson fucking Joker comment. You're still winding me up now about that. You winded me up yesterday about that, you bastard. But anyway, Heath Ledger's the best Joker, but I think closely followed probably by Mark Hamill, to be honest, in the cartoons. However, what I love in a movie, a superhero movie, is when the superhero is down and out. Like Rocky. So when he fights against Apollo, first two movies are great. But when he fights Mr. T and Ivan Drago, and even Tommy Morrison to a lesser extent, they're all physically more capable than Rocky, but he just comes through by his sheer will and determination. And that's what I loved about the Bane thing. I know with Tom Hardy, they had to sort of superimpose, because I think Christian Bale's actually taller than Tom Hardy. So they've had to do a lot of camera trickery and everything. And even to the point where Tom Hardy looks huge on this, but he wasn't actually that big. He'd come off the back of doing Warrior and gone straight into a training camp, but you physically can't put that much bulk on that. He had a bulk on him, he looked good, but he wasn't the size as in the movie, because I know he said, actually, Christian Bale's kicked the shit out of him loads of times. He's 10 times harder than Tom Hardy. So Tom Hardy said loads of times. But I just love that dynamic of Bane. And obviously, we get the first interaction with his voice. And I know there was controversy at the time, because when they originally recorded it, Tom Hardy had to do all these lines again in post, didn't he? Because he just couldn't hear him with the mask on and that. So that was an issue. And that's why it changes. His voice always sounds really, he's like an exclamation point on everything he says. Obviously, we can say that about Christian Bale's Batman, which I'm sure we will. But Dave, we get one of the best lines at the start. Now, how far into this are we going to start doing impressions?
Mate, I think the impressions, we usually try and limit them, don't we? So don't do too many. Not consciously, but you know, you don't try and pull out every iconic line. For this, though, I think there's an amnesty. All terrible impressions are completely, you know, it's a free for all. So all I'll say to you, Chris, is,
let us not stand on ceremony here, Mr. Phelps.
Yours is miles better than mine. Mine's actually out of the film. Are you ready for this? I've got a cup, and I'm going to put my fucking big snozzy old nose in it, Dave, trying to get the sound.
It must be a big cup.
Fuck you, right? Here we go. Ready for it? Yep. I've actually got the lines from the CIA agent. Obviously, he's Littlefinger, isn't it, out of Game of Thrones.
His Littlefinger, yeah.
Yeah, the bastard. He gets everywhere. But anyway, here we go, Dave. So, Dave, if you could just say, do his line. If you could say you're a big guy when I say the first bit, and then you say, you know, his line, and then I'll say, ready? Here we go.
You're a big guy.
No. I've got to say my line.
All right.
Thanks, Dave, though. Anyway, how do you know that? I don't know.
That was just a practice run. So I don't know this one as well as you do. You speak a line, then I speak a line.
I've never been called a big guy, but thanks, Dave. Anyway.
I know, I wondered. Are you trying to fucking get me into some kind of different audio drama? Go on.
Here we go. Well, this is going to be terrible.
50 Shades of Dark Knight.
Hang on. I'm just one sec. You're going to love this. One sec. Here we go.
It will be extremely painful.
You're a big guy.
Are you?
It's terrible. It sounded like fucking Emma Austin Powers. That was terrible. £1 million. That's
Doctor Evil.
That's terrible. Carry on, Dave.
I think, you know, so I've got this on Blu-ray, and again, one of the good things about this Dark Knight Rises is no one likes it. So I think I'll go for about the Blu-ray edition for about 50p from CEX. So, which, you know, for our American listeners, that's like a secondhand, you know, movie and games type store. So I remember, though, at the cinema, Bane's voice, apart from the fact that it was utterly jarring because I just wasn't expecting it. You know, the whatever accent that is supposed to be, I was not expecting it. But also as well, it's so obviously like it, on a different level to what everyone else is talking. You know, so when they obviously have like the soundstage and stuff, I mean, for years they used to voice over pretty much everything, didn't they? But, you know, if they can film this stuff on a soundstage, which I assume this was, you generally pick up, you know, what the actors are saying. But it just boomed out of the cinema screen. I was just like, what the fuck is that? And again, I'm trying to let go of that initial disappointment. But from this aeroplane scene, as impressive as it is, and slightly unnecessary, I feel. But, you know, I think there's an easier way to make it look like an aircraft crash, to be honest, than the way they did it. But yeah, it's just the way the Bane's voice sat over everything else. And I think because it was so different, it put me off. But over the years, you know, it's kind of grown on you. And like, you know, even in the Harley Quinn series, the animated series, the fact that they used the, you know, the Tom Hardy take on Bane, I think is brilliant. And it's so iconic, isn't it? It basically, Tom Hardy made Bane his own in this performance, to be fair.
Yeah, whether you like it or not, whether you think he's good or bad, you're right. Yeah. Because, Dave, it's become like a pop culture impression, hasn't it? Everyone does that fucking voice. I do it, obviously not very well. And you were laughing before we started recording, but the best I can do normally is when he goes, Mr. Wayne. That's about the best I can do, Dave. Yours is a mile better. I even bought, last time we were doing The Dark Knight, and we were teeing up for it. I even bought a Bane app for my phone off. It was like a quid on the iStore.
I remember you saying
in my back garden on the step trying to do the voice. But I was trying to pretend it was me. And it sounded fucking even worse than my impressions. I was like, this is a waste of a fucking quid. Well, I haven't got it on my phone anymore, Dave. That's how bad it was.
Yeah. But I must admit, Chris, again, from my initial disappointment, and I put my cards right on the table there. Initially, I was disappointed with this, but I keep trying to let it go and just watch it for what it is. You know, the movie on its own and, you know, being that last concluding part to the trilogy. And I think, quite honestly, I probably enjoyed it a bit more this time. You know, we're just trying to mentally do that, sever all of those previous expectations. And so I think this opening scene, again, for me was spectacular, but again, being that slight cynic, and it just comes through reviewing so many damn movies, doesn't it? But you're like, did you really have to do that? How about you just, you know, knock everyone out and then, you know, crash the plane and then jump off the plane? You didn't have to have this elaborate thing where you've got another plane basically chopping its wings off and then, you know, sending it down. Because if you were an aircraft forensic inspector, you would realize that probably about 50 miles away are the wings. And then, you know, at the crash site, you've got the body of the plane. Well, that's a bit weird, isn't it? I think it wouldn't take long for a forensic inspector to figure out, you know, something was untoward there. But probably reading too much into this, Chris.
Yeah, I think you're trying to find faults in one of my favorite movies.
No. But what I'll say is, again, I think in the Blu-ray, and again, I've got a decent sound system now. I've got a decent sound bar and everything, the old surround sound and that. And so Bane's voice was more balanced out against everyone else's voice. So I think straight away, I mean, I think wasn't the first line like, or perhaps, hold on. If I'm going to do it, I better fucking do it soon.
Yeah.
Or perhaps he's wondering why someone would shoot a man before throwing him out of a plane.
You're better than me at that, Dave.
That was his first line, wasn't it? And that was the one that, in the cinema, took me out of it. But, like I say, watching it through now, it was balanced quite nicely. And you just... I think this time I was bought in and I was just feeling, you know, Littlefinger's arse drop through the floor where he's like, fuck.
Yeah. You know, I am on my arse. Yeah, I agree. And I think as well, he's like, it's more that Christopher Nolan shot this, I think it was 7mm cameras to give it more of a different effect. And that's why that whole thing was staged and the way it was shot. I loved it. I loved it in the cinema. It's just a bit of me, Dave, just ridiculous nonsense. And if you pass on from that, the only thing I find a little thin, and now, Dave, let's be honest there. Your mate is, you know, did the story with Christopher Nolan and his brother, Jonathan Nolan. The old David S. Goyer is on board for this one, my friend. One of the living legend that he is. And but what I would say is that Bruce Wayne, to come out of retirement after 8 years, it doesn't take him a lot. Now, obviously, it could be he's fucking bored. He spent fucking 8 Christmases sat in that room upstairs with his limp and stuff. But he literally, because Selina Kyle comes in, doesn't she, and nicks his mum's jewels and that, and she's dusting for prints and that. And literally from there, he's gone. He's like, right, have we got a car? Yeah, I'm gone. That's it. You know, and he just ends up completely 180ing himself. That's the only thing apart of this whole movie, which happens in the space of about the first 15 minutes, that is a little bit of more of a stretch than anything else. Everything else I can buy into. I know that sounds ridiculous because the plot's like unbelievable, but that's just the one thing as a character, considering what we've seen over the last two movies before this, it's a bit out of the ordinary for me, if that makes sense.
Do you want me to point out a lot of other things as well?
Go on.
Well, I don't know. I enjoyed this more than I've ever done before, to be honest, Chris. So, you know, I'll say that straight away. I think, you know, the older grizzle Batman that's been done a few times, you know, the Dark Knight Returns, which is the Frank Miller book that I've referred to so many times, is so iconic. And, you know, quite often if you talk about, you know, if you ask fans, you know, what's your favorite Batman story from the comics, a lot of them will talk about the Dark Knight Returns. It was just such a different book and utterly brilliant. It's been copied and imitated so many times since. But, you know, it's like, was it in Batman Begins where basically Christian Bale like brushes his, he gives himself some 90s curtains, like as supposed to be, as like Bruce Wayne in college. But it's still Christian Bale's face, undeniably, and he's still about 30. And here, I'm supposed to believe that he's like really old and like he's hobbling about on a walking stick, despite the fact, you know, he was fine at the end of Dark Knight. But then, you know, the whole Dentac passed and, you know, so he's hung up his cowl then. It's just, I'm not buying that Christian Bale or Bruce Wayne is that much older than when we saw him before. Because he just looks the fucking same.
His hair's a bit longer, Dave. That's about it.
And he's got a walking stick. But not only that, you know, and you get Selina Kyle. And I do have to say, you know, Anne Hathaway is lovely. I still think you can't beat Michelle Pfeiffer for a portrayal of Catwoman. But she does an adequate job. But then, like you say, he gets coaxed out of retirement quite easily. But then when he puts the bloody, mechanical leg thing on, and then he does a bit of a kick against the stone pillar. It's like, oh, again, I can't let go of reality, Chris, that much, because what about his fucking standing leg? Like, which leg was he limping on that you could put a mechanical leg on? Or it wasn't even like, it's not like an Iron Man suit, is it? Or it's not like Batman's Batfleck, you know, from Batman versus Superman, where he has the whole suit, you know, and that was a bit of a Dark Knight Returns thing. So it's not like that. He's just basically got a splint and then now he can kick fucking through stone pillars. What was a bollocks, Chris?
Listen, Dave. So I'm just clearing my throat now for this. You mentioned Batfleck. There's nothing better than to bring that up now, what I was going to say. So we were having a bit of a chat, weren't we, in our group, and all the guys from all the different shows we have now on the Comics in Motion Network, we were talking. And
Do you refer to, Chris, sorry to cut across you, but do you refer to like all of the mad, passionate fans of Batman and writers for DC Comics News and Dark Knight News as well? Do you mean those guys?
Them guys, yeah, them guys. So, yeah, no, I have an argument. They know more about the character than I do, obviously. I was still thinking Dick Grayson was the only Robin until we started doing Comics in Motion, Dave. So we know this story. However, as the person who has no background in comic books at all, the only comics I've read is when we've reviewed them on this show, or when, you know, I've been to a couple of the comic, I've been to Comic Cons now and I've bought a couple of comics, fully enjoyed them. I've done Civil War with Max and things like that. However, me being a pure film goer, right, not having the baggage of reading all the comics and everyone absolutely fucking wanking themselves silly over Ben Affleck's performance, right, which everyone does. Everyone creams themselves over Batfleck, saying it's the Batman we deserve. I have no prior knowledge of who this other Batman is in these comics. I am purely the movie guy and TV guy on this show, and always will be. I literally will never read probably a lot of these comics that everyone refers to. So the ones who say Batfleck is the best Batman are mostly, probably 99%, comic book fans who have this knowledge of different variants of Batman. Anybody I know in my family, friends circle, genuinely, if I say to them, which is your best Batman? Some might say, you know, Michael Keaton, remember him as a kid or whatever, but they will always say Christian Bale is Batman, because we are... My circle of friends are not comic book readers or anything. Obviously, I know you are. You're one of my best friends, but you've got me into this. We do a podcast on it. So I'm saying that Batfleck can be the comic book fans' Batman, but the moviegoers' Batman is always going to be Christian Bale. And that's why...
Controversial.
No, I'm sticking to this, because that's why I like Ben Affleck. I've watched one of his films recently, a basketball one, a true story, where he was a basketball failed player and become a coach. I like him as an actor. However, I never, ever, ever thought he was great in any of their movies at all. I just thought he was good. He was moody. He was a different take on the Batman character. But I have no baggage, Dave. So for me, they are... And you're right. You did say, and Max has said, and Tony and stuff... He never got his own film. That may have changed if they'd actually give him a proper origin movie. And then I maybe sat here going, you know what? He's as good as Christian Bale. He's probably better. But because he was just a cameo, and especially in Justice League, he was just a fucking fluffer for Superman and all the superheroes. He was fucking, right? He was a fucking soft ass one. He was just sat there fucking prepping them all up in the movie. He was shit. So he lost all his aura in Justice League. Batman v Superman, I like that film as well. I don't mind Justice League either. It's a good movie. Batman was shit in Justice League. Absolutely shit. When it comes to fighting Steppenwolf at the end, he was a disgrace. He just fucked his character up completely. He was like a peripheral figure for me. So I've gone on my little rant, Dave, but I'm telling you now, Christian Bale, as a pure movie fan, is always going to be my Batman until... I don't know whether Robert Pattinson will be. I'm not sure. But I'm telling you, Dave, having no baggage, that's where my argument is. So all the DC guys are going to listen to this and probably give me some pelters. Bring it on, baby. You know what I mean? So what do you think of that one, Dave?
So that is a passionate defense, Chris. And all I'll say is, just to make sure I've understood this right, are you actually saying he's the hero Gotham deserves, but not the one it needs right now?
Yeah. Fuck off, Dave. I'm not mad at Batman impression.
I know you were trying to put up a defense there, but about halfway through, I thought two things. I thought he's going to sleep tonight. And then the second thing I was thinking, right, there is no better time for me to break out that impression.
I was going to finish you, fucker, with a little line ready for it at the end as well. So do you see where I'm coming from on that?
I do think, you know, there are lots of people that will argue, and they have lots and lots of love for Adam West Batman, you know, the old 60s.
Oh, yeah, like Adam West. Yeah.
Lots of people, still their favourite Batman is Michael Keaton. And, you know, lots of people going nuts that he might appear in the Flash movie as Batman. So I think there's, apart from Clooney and Val Kilmer probably, there are lots of people who have their favourite Batmans. And so, you know, for me, I think Christian Bale is a very, very, very good actor. The only thing that takes me out of this trilogy, and it starts in Dark Knight and it just gets worse in Dark Knight Rises, it's the voice, Chris. It's just too much.
Yeah. I must admit, even at the end when he starts kicking the shit out of Bane, he's still doing the voice. Well, Bane already knows.
Exactly.
Lucius Fox, when he talks to him, he's still doing the voice. Even in the Dark Knight, he's doing it, you know. And when he talks to fucking Commissioner Gordon, why don't he just speak? You know, I was going to do that. I'm going to do it anyway, Dave. Fuck it. I'm going to do the line.
Go on.
There we go. This is what I was going to do after my little rant. So, Errol. Oh, no. Hold on. Errol, can be anyone, even a man, doing something as simple and as reassuring as putting a coat around a young boy's shoulders to let him know the world hadn't ended. And then he goes, Bruce Wayne? Or something like that, anyway. But, yeah.
What was that last bit? Commissioner Gordon there.
Gordon, yeah. Bruce Wayne? It sounded like Bane again, didn't it?
Commissioner Gordon is in Carry On. Carry On Commissioner. Bruce Wayne? Ooh.
Suits you, sir. Yeah, that one. I agree with that. His voice gets ridiculous because he has like a lisp almost. And even when he's talking to Robin, you know, obviously, what's he called? Fingy Gordon, love it, whatever he's called, the one who plays the
James. I know what you mean. It's like Dick Grayson, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's basically Robin at the end, isn't he, and stuff, because that's his real name. But when he's talking to him, when he rescues him, and he's like, "Have you got anything? Wear a mask," you know, and he's like, "But he knows who you are. He's already been to your house and said you're Bruce Wayne." And I saw the look in your face when he comes to the orphanage with your car and your Flash women. He doesn't need to do the voice around him. So I think Christian Bale may have been told by Christopher Nolan, you don't have to do the voice when you're talking to people who know who you are, but he just goes, "Ah, fuck it, I'm staying in character." So I agree. At times, I actually think his voice is more off-putting than Bane's in this at times. Not off-putting, where I love the movie, but there is times it's too much, I think.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, because, again, it's just too far. And I think, again, for the as much stick as like Batman versus Superman and Justice League get, I think having the voice modulator was a great move, because ultimately, you know, you go back to Batman 66 and Adam West, whether he's Batman or whether he's Adam West, talks in exactly the same way. So you're like, well, all right, let's take out this part of the believability, you know. So let's say he's got to put on a different voice, or else everyone would just recognize his voice. But yeah, it just, I don't know whether he came up with that on his own or whether he was given direction to do that. But yeah, it just gets worse and worse for me. Now, what do you reckon to Catwoman, Chris, and Anne Hathaway's portrayal of Catwoman, Selina Kyle, in this one?
I love her, Dave. I'll tell you now, Dave, when she's on the bike, outstanding. Outstanding. Leather cat suit, outstanding. I think she's good, isn't it? I like the bit at the start where she's doing the vulnerable bit, and then he says, "You've took my mother's," and she goes, "Oops." And then you get that little bit of music to say she's a bit of a bitch. But I love the bit where she takes the governor or whatever he is into that bar, and she says he's got his phone, and then the cops come in. She's screaming like she's been, you know, she's just a dizzy woman, but she's killed everybody and created all that problem. I think she's really good, and I didn't mind Michelle Pfeiffer when we reviewed that, but I genuinely think I prefer Anne Hathaway, I must admit.
Yeah, I must admit, I think I might. I think for me, Michelle Pfeiffer just gives it that extra few percent. Now, I probably like this movie a little bit better than Batman Returns, to be honest. And I still don't fully get, you know, when Michelle Pfeiffer's Selina Kyle fell out the window and then she got licked by a bunch of cats, then she suddenly become became a master of kung fu and a whipping, you know, brilliant with a whip as well. It was just a bit of a leap. Whereas, you know, in at least in this one, she's just that excellent kind of cat burglar already, isn't she? And, you know, she's got, she's a bit grey, isn't she? She's got questionable morals and, you know, she's obviously stealing stuff and not on the right side of the law, but she's not particularly bad person as such. So, no, I agree. I think I like her. I think it's probably, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer just gets it a bit more because I fancied the pants off her when I was a kid, so she probably gets an extra few percent for that. But I know a lot of people don't like this kind of Catwoman, but for me, I can kind of go with it. I think she does a good job. And, you know, again, you can tell a lot of this is filmed in the UK, can't you? Because you basically got all the Game of Thrones actors and stuff. You know, and so you've got, I can't remember what the actor's name is, but he was a quite sinister guy in Game of Thrones, one of the fellas who she's working with sort of trying to do the deal with. You've got Cillian Murphy, haven't you? Obviously Peaky Blinders fame, he's playing the Scarecrow a bit later. I at this point I'm quite enjoying it. And I guess, you know, it's all leading up, though, isn't it, to this first showdown with Batman and Bane. What do you reckon of that?
It's good because, obviously, we've had the stock exchange. A lot of this was filmed in New York as well, Dave, which is pretty good because mainly Gotham City is usually Chicago, but they've gone with New York for this one, for a lot of the shots.
I think initially, when, you know, back in, was it 39 that Detective Comics 27, I think it was, came out? And I think they were thinking New York at the time. But I think the way the movies have gone, like certainly like Dark Knight, a lot of it looks more like Chicago. And so people have drawn those parallels. But I think you're right. I think it in this one, it's got more of a New York feel. I think, was it Batman versus Superman, wasn't it? It's just like, you know, Gotham and Metropolis are right next to each other. They're just across the bay. Again, ridiculous. Something I can't forgive that movie for, but yeah, no, definitely more of a New York feel.
Yeah, because you see at the end when they're chasing Miranda and she's in like the truck with the bomb and stuff, you see Saks Fifth Avenue, which I was there at Christmas to see the display. So you see him drive right past there at the end. But yeah, it's interesting because it builds up. Obviously, Alfred's been warning him. Alfred does a runner, and I think that's some good acting from Michael Caine as well. And he leaves him, and obviously Christian Bale or Bruce is like, "How dare you? You know, use Rachel's memory and stuff." You know, but obviously he had the letter from her, didn't he? And that she chose Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight and stuff. And then when he goes in and he says, "I want to go and, you know, see Bane," it's. I'll be honest with you, I've said Rocky, Dave. This is very similar to Rocky 3 because Mr. T, you know, Mickey, you know, takes one.
Paulie's not taking anyone on, is he?
No, Paulie's not taking anyone. He does say, "I don't sweat you," but every time he does it, he usually gets smacked by someone. But no, Mickey gets killed, and then Rocky goes in completely unfocused and gets absolutely mullered by Clubber Lang. And how the hell have I ended up with a comparison of Rocky 3 to The Dark Knight Rises?
No, I think you're right. I think, you know, if you think old Alfred is like the Mickey, obviously he doesn't die.
Yep.
But he does give his little story that he seems to know Bane personally. Again, I think, you know, if I'm picking nits, to be quite honest, he gives a very specific, relevant story. You know, these guys, he's known Bruce since he was a fucking kid, and he's chosen right now to tell him, "Sandman, just want to watch the world burn." That was awful.
That wasn't bad.
I thought that was a bit. Mary Poppins and I live and breathe. Good eye. But yeah, you know, they choose to like part ways, don't they? Because he'd hidden the letter, and actually, you know, he thought that Rachel was going to go. Bruce thought that Rachel was going to couple up with him, you know, making a bit of a Love Island comparison there, Chris. But actually, yeah, recoupling, she was going to go with Harvey Dent, and Alfred hid that from him. So, yeah, he's a bit fucked off. But you're right, that takes away his counsel. That removes the Mickey in the Rocky analogy that you've just made there. And then he goes into the fight with Clubber Lang and gets his arse handed to him.
Exactly. And he gets absolutely mullered. And it's when we first reveal properly to Selena that it's actually Bruce Wayne. Because I love that. When he goes, let's not stand on ceremony, Mr. Wayne. You know, that's where they get that from, Dave. But I must admit, there's
That's my favourite line. I've got to say, that's my favourite one. So I've got to do this one. Hold on.
Let us not stand on ceremony here, Mr. Wayne.
Dave, that's fucking excellent. Mine is terrible.
I tell you, I love it though. It is such a great line. It's such an emasculating line because, you know, Batman, you know, Bruce, he's been running around in the mask for so many years. And even though he's just put it back on now, he's had this anonymity. And Bane's just fucking kicked him in the nuts, essentially saying, I fucking know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I thought a brilliant line. I do love that one, to be fair.
Well, you like that line, and I do love that line, but I like the line when he's fighting him and he turns the light off. And yeah. I'm going to do this. I've got my cup out again. This is terrible, but here we go. This is not even a review. We're just fucking doing. I mean, I'm doing it.
It's just a self indulgence, isn't it?
Yeah, here we go. Fucking hell, this is going to be terrible. Here we go.
Oh. You think that?
It's not nothing like it, does it? Right, here we go. Hang on.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't see the light until I was already a man. By then, it was nothing to me but blinding.
And he grabbed him around the neck, but that was terrible, Dave. I love that line when he grabs him around the neck because Bruce does like some of the magic stuff, doesn't he, to distract him. But yeah, this scene's brilliant. I love it. And Batman gets fucking mullered, doesn't he? He breaks his back, he breaks the cowl, everything. He just destroys him.
Yeah. And I think you're right, to be fair. And you know what, Chris? I'd never thought of it in a Rocky III kind of way, but you're right. I mean, he absolutely hands his arse to him, doesn't he? He takes everything away from him. He takes his anonymity away from him. You know, he's clearly bigger, more stronger, more physical, so he kicks his ass. But then also, you know, it's like, right, one last trick I've got to play. I'll do the old, you know, hit the lights kind of thing. And it's like, nope, I'm fucking better at that as well. You know, so yeah, he properly gets fucked up in this point. But and you know, it's quite an iconic cover that you have where like Bane's basically breaking the Batman's back. When I watched it this time, I didn't really buy it quite as much. Just the execution of how it was done, I thought they could have probably got a better shot of that. But yeah, I mean, he properly fucks him up there, and you know, I guess he kind of you know, at this point of the movie, he's not fucked, but he does look properly fucked at this point, to be fair.
Yeah, he does. And I think you're right. Like, his age doesn't look any different 8 years later. I mean, I've looked at pictures of myself from 5 years ago and I still had a bit of brown hair on top, Dave. I'm literally grey now. So you would think he'd age. His hair is perfectly still the same brown haircut. He's obviously supposed to be like late 40s, isn't he, at this point, I presume. But look, he takes him to the prison, says no one, there's only one person that's ever been got out, you know, Ra's al Ghul's child, which it's all pointing towards he's actually Bane. And then we got Tom Conti there, don't we? He works in the, he lives in the actual prison, and he's like a bit of a mental, he's a doctor there, the blind doctor and that. And obviously eventually they sort his back out and he starts doing a lot of press ups and getting back in shape, doesn't he?
Oh my God. Right. Sorry. Right. I've been poking a little bit of fun at stuff, but basically Chris, he's broke his back. And then Tom Conti with a quick fucking ninja move, like pops his vertebrae back in, and then that's it. His back's back to normal. Spinal injuries don't fucking work that way. I cannot buy this bit. I just wish that there was some kind of better explanation for it. But yeah, I cannot let go of reality for this one. It's just, I can't suspend disbelief that much that you can just, you know, create, you know, cure a back injury by strapping him up and then give him a quick, quick karate chop on the back.
Dave, yeah, you've seen Dragon, Bruce Lee's story, when he breaks his back and comes back a year later. What's wrong with you? I'm not having it, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was modern medicine. He fucking went to the hospital. This is Tom Conti with, you know, his fucking 5-point palm trick.
Yeah, but to be fair, Dave, he was in Friends as well. Him and Jennifer Saunders were, I think he's...
Tom Conti in Friends?
Yeah, he was Fingy's mum, wasn't he? And mum, dad, even. Him and Jennifer Saunders, what's she called? Her out of Cold Feet, who married Ross. Emily.
Oh, Emily.
He was her mum and dad. Him and Jennifer Saunders.
Right.
So anyway, a bit of useless trivia there for you. But, but however, there is now, it's about iconic moments. One of the most iconic, which you touched upon before, was in the trailer. And you get the kids singing the national anthem, is the fucking football field. Yeah. Being destroyed. That, I'm sorry, I know it's all CGI, but it was so well put together, and that's when they just take it. And then they killed only Dr. Pavel then as well on the actual field. But I think that's iconic, that.
It is iconic. And, you know, that's when basically the League of Shadows, you know, so in this fight, and we got hung up on the fight, didn't we? But this is where... I must admit, I do like this. The fact that it ties it all back to Ra's al Ghul at the start, you know, it's all League of Shadows related, and Batman or Bruce, he can't escape his roots there. And so they're still going to go through with their plan. So even though he defeated Ra's al Ghul, you know, the League of Shadows still exists, and they are going to fucking, you know, take over Gotham or wipe Gotham off the map and start again. So I did like this, you know, they storm the stock market and stuff. And I like that line, you know, you say, I can't remember exactly what the line, I don't have it to hand, but the guy's saying there's no money here. And he's like,
oh, so why are you here then?
You know, and that's it. Fucking takes him out.
You know what though, Dave? I'll tell you now, you'd be saying about Rocky 3, but there's a lot of similarities. This bit with the Bane, the sort of foreshadowing what they're actually doing is very similar to Die Hard as well. So, you know, when the Nakatomi building gets taken over by Hans Gruber and his crew, mm-hmm. yeah. and we think they're doing one thing, but they're not. They're doing something completely different. And that's what this leads to, doesn't it? It leads to they're trying to get a load of money, but they're not. Because when that guy who's on the board at Wayne Enterprises reveals himself to be a, you know, a bit of a prick, and he's having to go like, where's Bane and all that? And he's like, you've been useful for now, up to now. And then he kills him. They think he wants to gain control of, obviously, Wayne Enterprise. That's why Selina's got his fingerprints and stuff to try and he does ultimately lose control of the business at that point. But it's all a ruse. They're just doing it to sort of cause mayhem and problems and try and draw the Batman out as well. So I think when you look at it, I mean, honestly, Dave, I have seen this movie. It's about 8 years. I've probably watched it maybe 2-3 times a year since. And when it first came out, I must have watched it about 10 times in the first 3 or 4 months. I absolutely loved it. So I'm always going to have that emotional baggage with this. Absolutely amazing film. But I will say that from 2012, and you said about the Avengers, I was never a Marvel fanboy. So I loved Spider-Man, loved the Hulk stuff. Obviously, I was scared shitless of the Hulk as a kid. But, you know, I did watch the cartoons and that. But... always love Spider-Man, always have, but never that bothered about the peripheral figures like Iron Man and football. But around this time was when I just went full Marvel. My two favorite superheroes ever are Superman and Batman, and then followed by the Hulk. They're my three, but Superman is my ultimate DC. I was always a DC fanboy, not because I chose that, just by choice of loving Superman. Superman is my favorite over anyone. However, I say it all the time, I've just moved my room around that recording, like little studio I've got. Right in front of me, Dave, and I slag off. I say, like, Bane's the best one I have actually got. As you know, Heath Ledger right in front of me. Why so serious with my frame with Batman in the Joker playing card? Because I always said it, but the guy drew it for me in Las Vegas Boulevard. So I love that picture. But interesting how it comes full circle. And I'm probably more Marvel now, mainly because of the quality of the movies of DC since then. As much as Superman 2 is probably Mount Rushmore of movies, Dave, with Endgame, I think.
It is, and it's just... It'll come around again, I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, we've spoken about this loads. I mean, I probably lean more towards the Marvel stuff in terms of the comics. But, you know, in terms of the movies, when I was a kid growing up, there was no doubt the DC stuff was miles better. You know, you had the Superman movies, the Batman movies. And, you know, we had, you know, Spider-Man 77, you know, he had the TV show, but they never did anything. Up until Blade in 98, Marvel did nothing in the movie space. But consistently, and it's not to everyone's taste, but for my taste, you know, the movies have been better over the last, you know, decade or so. That can change. And honestly, I don't really care whether it's Marvel or DC. I don't have that much brand loyalty. I just care about the end product. So, you know, and I love all of it. You know, I'd much sooner watch this than like Pride and Prejudice or something. You know, so the fact that we have more of these movies and they're quite diverse and, you know, the Marvel/Disney, you know, film formula does have more of a kind of quirky, humorous, upbeat tone. The fact that, you know, the DC stuff is a bit more dark, great. It means we've got more variety. It's brilliant. So, you know, there's nothing about Marvel and DC that, you know, no kind of baggage with that I'm bringing to this. But it is, I have to call out things that jar with me. And I have to say, another thing that jars with me about this movie is how the police, basically like 100% of the police force, all march en masse.
I know, yeah.
The fucking tunnels. There's no social distance in there, Chris, because they are pretty much fucking shoulder to shoulder, right? No army or police force, military force, anything fucking behaves like that. It is just utter nonsense that they march all the way down. There's no one on holiday. There's no one off sick or anything. And it's just one of those things that I must have seen this getting on for 10 times now. So as much as I say, you know, it's not one of my favorites and it did disappoint me, I still seen it a fair few times over the last 10, 8 years. But yeah, each time I kind of half forget about that. And then I just see them all running down, all in a massive group. And I'm like, oh, fuck me, that's terrible.
Yeah, you know what, Dave? I must admit, even when I watched it at the cinema, I remember sitting there thinking, so whoever was the strategic leader here sent every single man, dog, fucking person into the actual fucking underground subway.
Do you remember when you were at school? And like, you know, you'd end up with two people and like wrestling or something. It's like, pile on!
Yeah.
Everyone would jump on and it's like that. It's like the fucking
it's like lemons. Like,
go on.
Where's he going? Where are we running to? I don't know, but I'm following these and everyone's just fucking running together. Utterly ridiculous. But it makes for making the film great. And I must admit, the fucking police in Gotham City are absolutely bipolar, because in Batman Begins, they're the bentest fucking cops we've ever seen. There's not one who's genuine. By the Harvey Dent act at the end of Dark Knight, they're all fucking goody two-shoes, aren't they? Nobody's fucking on the take. Yeah. But the whole Batman Begins is about them all being on the take and fucking dodgy and stuff. So I find it hard to believe in the space of, say, 12, 13 years that everybody's clean. But anyway... Yes, totally with you on that. I do love the scene, though, Dave, when the police and obviously Jim Gordon's friend there, you know, he won't come out of his house, will he, the police chief?
And
then he sees that. I tell you what, I get chills when I love the bit where they've done this kangaroo court, aren't with all the rich and that so far. So the Scarecrow, Cillian Murphy, Jonathan Crane, he's in charge of this kangaroo court. And all these people who are loaded and rich, they just basically, like the Purge, they just fucking grab them all and they basically kill them, don't they? Take everything off them. And they've got all these people living in like the City Hall. Miranda Tate's in there with Lucius and stuff. But when he gets Jim Gordon and the cops and they go on the and obviously Batman's, Bruce has got out of the prison now and all that stuff. And he's seen Selina Kyle and he's saying like, this is your way out. that bit, even to this day, still gives me chills. So when they're on the walking on the ice and it's if they can fall out, and I don't know how that little boomerang thing kills all these people, but it does. It must have some sort of sedative in it because he throws it on the nets, misses all the cops who are there, and they all die. A little bit of a reach, but I can live with that. But when he says,
bit of a John Matrix sort of commando job, isn't it?
yeah. The accuracy of not hitting any of these innocent cops. It's when he says, he goes, "Light it up." And he fucking lights it up. And then obviously Bane's like, "Impossible," you know, and he's like, "He'll come for the girl." That bit, every time, Dave, every time, I can feel it now, goosebumps. I love that scene. And I think what I'm saying about this movie is because I love the fact that the hero is not invincible and has had to come back and find his fucking Eye of the Tiger again. That is, for me, is always my, it is always, I mean, the Rocky stuff's going to keep coming, but it's always one of my favourite DNAs for movies. I love that when the hero's downtrodden and has got to find something, some inner strength to come back and take on this ultimate bad guy.
I completely agree with you, Chris. And I think I'm just weighed down by practicalities. So it is a great moment and it looks fucking awesome. Right. And it is a great symbol to everyone. But basically, this is Bruce Wayne on his own. He's got no entourage working with him at this point. So basically, like, the whole world's gone to shit, or Gotham at least has gone to shit. Bruce has got his scaffolding out and he's like, he's throwing a bit of petrol up. And he's like, "Oh, do you reckon, this would be a bit more on the wing, I think." It would have took him fucking ages to set that up. At least a day. And it's like, he'd have to crawl like right down. Just the mind boggles at how long it would have had to take him to set up that cool effect. And so I just can't let it go, Chris.
Dave, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say the more word, fuck off, all right? Don't be reading my film.
But we've skipped over, obviously, you know, he climbed out of the cave, didn't he? And we get this whole thing with Tom Conti, and he's sort of telling him about how the person climbed out of this pit, which, again, Chris, this is supposed to be at the other side of the world, but where actually is it? Because it seems to be, like, about half an hour away from Gotham. I mean, it looks like it's, I don't know, in Egypt or somewhere in the Middle East or something. But how did Bruce Wayne get back to fucking Gotham? How did he get into Gotham?
Yeah, and to be fair, Bane takes him to the prison, and once he's destroyed him, however, the only way they explain it when he comes back, Dave, is literally, there's a little bit of dialogue basically saying we've got 12 hours to save Gotham. But when he's in there, it's supposed to have played over a good few days, this, for him to get back there. But Dave, he doesn't need to. He can get back in any city. He's Batman. He could swim. Like, he might have got, you know what he might have done, Dave? Now you've said that, because it is DC. He could have got Aquaman to swim him in. You know what I mean? You never know, because all the bridges were off, but there was water there. I'm reaching now terribly. But
this is like, I tell you what else, Chris, right? This is a whole Midnight Express thing. Right, he's in some fucking shit old prison that's got nothing apart from cable with Gotham News on it. What the fuck? Come on. So I don't know. I just, you know, I came into this, Chris, and I was thinking, you know what? I kind of like that a bit more. We'll have a good chat about it. But the more we talk about it, I'm just thinking, oh, it's just fucking nonsense. I can get behind the whole Rocky III theme to it. And ultimately, you know, Tom Hardy's Bane portrayal is iconic. But the more I think about the plot, I think, you know, this is why I fucking hate that Goya. But anyway, moving on. So he ultimately does get back into Gotham, doesn't he? Again, everyone is like, you know, he can quite happily walk around and just happens to bump into Selina Kyle.
Dave, you can get snuffed with this. Right. So, you know, what's happened is, Dave, because of her sort of inner instinct and his, it's like a connection between Catwoman and Batman. They just knew where each other were, Dave. It's telepathic.
Oh, it's like a telepathic thing. Okay, yeah. Okay. So magical coincidence. Okay, I can get behind that.
Dave, it doesn't matter where they meet up. She's got the suit on, the high heels on, the suit.
She looks, we can all appreciate it.
He goes to the bike and he says, like, I could really do your help, which is a bit of foreshadowing. You know that she's going to come good at some point, don't you? Because she's not the nasty person. She wants just a normal life, doesn't she? She doesn't want to be this cat burglar, because he even says it to her earlier on. He says, when you live in such a downtrodden place, you're either ready to retire and you're looking for a way out, or you're that involved with the wrong type of people that you don't know where to go. And I like that.
Yeah. So we get this convenient, utterly convenient thing. So what is it? Operation Clean Slate?
Yeah.
So this...
Not only that, Dave.
Off every single database in the world, your record will be completely obliterated.
Dave, he's Batman. He's Bruce Wayne. He can do anything.
Because I'm Batman. And it just is. So shut the fuck up.
I can't wait to do one of your favourite films. I'm going to shit on it, even if I like it.
Right, hey, so, it was pretty good to Smokey and the Bandit, wasn't I?
He was, actually.
Shit as that was.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Steady. So, So, but I do get it, Dave, because I can see some of the things in this movie. I know we're having a joke, but I agree. There's loads of things. I just overlook all that because it's got my DNA formula. Mm. That's why I was so pissed off with the Endgame. Because the fucking Hulk should have been the one who took Thanos out at the end. I'm still fucking pissed off about that 15 months later, because it was set up so much for the Hulk to be the one to absolutely decimate Thanos. Iron Man can have his moment. You know, I am Iron Man. The Hulk should have been the one to fuck him up. And it still pisses me off what they did with the Hulk there, because he should have been straight in the battle. And it should have been one point where it was the Hulk v Thanos. And Thanos thinks he's going to kick the shit out of the Hulk. And the Hulk just fucking nails him. He even does the Hulk smash. I still dream about that moment, Dave, but we never got it.
No, you do. So, you know what annoys me? I saw a meme the other day and someone just put, like, you know, let's face it. The world hasn't been the same since Tony Stark died. I was like, you know what? The world has gone to shit a little bit, hasn't it? You know, not in the movies, just fucking killer hornets, bloody fucking coronavirus, just everything. Chris.
What's worse than all that is Liverpool have just won the fucking league. So that's definitely brilliant. Gone to shit. Yeah, it's gone to shit, Dave. For my
might win the last ever league season that there will be. So
that's fine, Dave. You still win 20, like we have. Anyway.
20, fuck off.
Yeah. Let's not get into football. Anyway. I think there's loads of things you could pick holes in this. I agree. I think the end of it's quite good. So they're chasing after these trucks, aren't they? And I didn't realise, watching this the first time, that Miranda was the baddie. I didn't realise that she was Ra's al Ghul's daughter. They did a good job of that. Complete. The only thing where you sort of think, hang on, is she a baddie, is when you watch it the second time, was the fact that she had the whole baddie suit on, the brown sort of karate ninja suit come from nowhere. So they kept her hostage, hadn't they? Yeah, and she had her hair swept back and this brown, like, it was almost like a... It's a bit like what Princess Leia wore in Return of the Jedi, this really weird suit come from nowhere. But other than that, I did not see that coming the first time. I was like, holy shit. When you said, like, Ra's al Ghul's child got into it, I am Ra's al Ghul. I loved all that.
No, it was a good switcheroo, wasn't it? Because it was all designed to lead you to believe, you know, Bane, he's the one who climbed out the pit all those years ago. And so, you know, in this... bit in the Middle East, which is directly connected to Gotham, it seems. But it's a good switcheroo, that.
It was good. So yeah, obviously they end up, you know, the interaction, she gets away, gets in the vehicles, Bane gets levered by Batman, then he sort of gives him again and he's going to give him another kick in, and then Selina comes and kills Bane. The only thing I'd say about this movie, Dave, and I understand, I know it's a 12 and that, there's no fucking blood anywhere, literally, other than when Bruce is getting beat up. That copper gets killed pretty much straight away after this and he's on the floor dead. No blood whatsoever. There's no even signs that he's been shot, but he's been shot by Bruce's, obviously, the Batmobile. That's the only thing. And when the coppers are running at the baddies when he disables the Batmobiles, they just hit the deck, but there's no blood anywhere. And that's the only bit that was really jarring this time when I watched it. I was like, oh, shit, yeah. I'd never tweaked to that at all.
Again, the whole police thing, oh, it's just so bad. When they're lining up, but it's like fucking football hooligans, though. It's not, there's no strategy involved. It's the fact that you got these two massive groups, and I know what you're saying, it's like supposed to be this like rising up against the rebels, which is a bit weird in itself, isn't it? You know, they're the authority. But anyway, we'll get past that. So it's just, you don't just fucking, it's not a Viking fucking slugfest. You know what I mean? And that's how it was sort of set up. So again, yeah, too cynical for this, Chris.
I think the one thing I'd say in the defence is these guys have been down in this tunnel, guys and girls have been down in this tunnel for whatever length of time. All their vehicles, everything's just been completely rape pillaged and everything, hasn't it? Because the police stations have been ruined, all the prisoners are out. So the only thing they've got is handguns. And that's what they're saying. They've gone into the sewers with a handgun. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've come out with. So that's how I see it as. They've got to go straight to the source to win the city back because they have no help from the outside world because the outside world can't come because of the bombs. They've already said the army can't come and get them and stuff. So they have got to then defend Gotham. I'm doing a great job of defending this island, Dave. But that's how I saw it anyway. That's why they had no other option. That's how I saw it because they only had handguns, didn't they? They didn't have machine guns in that, like Bane's lot. So
it must have been tasty, those bullets as well, mustn't they? Because, I mean, how long were they down there for with no food and water?
90 days, wasn't it? Something like that.
How did they fucking survive for that long? And then they've still got the energy to leg it. I don't know.
There are a lot of rats, Dave. There's a lot of rats in New York.
Yeah, a bit of protein there, yeah.
Ratatouille, rat on toast. They could be anything.
Ratatouille.
But anyway, so we get all this. Bane's dead. Miranda's gone and she gets chased. And then eventually, she gets killed, doesn't she, really? And Bruce is there. He comes down, Batman, in the bat plane thing. And then he says the line I said before. I'm not going to bastardize it again to Commissioner Gordon, but he's the line about, you know, putting his shoulder around the sun. But I love that bit where he comes off and you think he's dead again. Wasn't expecting it at the time. I remember when they saw the Alfred. I had a lump in my throat. And even now watching it, I got a lump in my throat. And when I see him and Alfred's there, gets me every time, Dave. I've got to be honest.
Yeah, so it's a sweet moment. And we'd had the setup, and maybe because Bruce had said to Lucius Fox earlier in the movie, you know, I'm glad you did the whole aeroplane thing, but you didn't put the autopilot in. So, you know, we're thinking, oh, if only there was an autopilot. But it feels to me, Chris, like the old serials. I tell you what, I'm sounding like, I'm going to sound in a minute, you know, Misery. When she's going on about how it fucking the serials left off, and it was like, no, it couldn't have happened like that. So he had no autopilot. He's flown off. We've seen it. We've seen the whole bat plane get blown up, but he's not dead. He's alive because, bleh. Just because. I kind of. And I know this is something wired into me where I kind of want a bit of explanation or at least a hint at something. But it's just like, no, we've seen him. There's no autopilot. He's gone off. It's blown up. Oh, but it's okay. He's alive because he's the hero and he's got plot armor all around him. And we want a happy ending. Don't buy it. I just don't buy it. It's just bollocks, isn't it? It is a nice moment. You know, and the fact that Bruce has been able to find that specific cafe that Alfred, you know, was talking about. And, you know, he talked about this hypothetical vision that he kind of had and this dream that, you know, they'd be happy and whatever. But wouldn't Alfred be like, fuck me, you're fucking alive, mate. What the fuck? You know, and the fact that Bruce Wayne is this like famous millionaire. Oh, millionaire, billionaire. And you know, no one recognizes him. Oh, it's bollocks, Chris. You know what? I'm talking myself down on this point scoring system. I had a score in mind. The more we're talking about it, I'm just like, oh, there is so much wrong with this. And it's not with the acting. It's not anything to do with Tom Hardy's Bane voice. It's not the actors. It's the writing. It's just shit.
I think it's your David Goyer bias.
It could be. He just fucking triggers me. I see his name and it's like, oh, fucking half-arse in this one. So, yeah. No.
Right, but anyway.
All right, defend that, though. How does Batman... And don't fucking say, because of Batman. How is he fucking alive? How is he alive, Chris?
Because, Dave, what you don't realise is I mentioned Aquaman. Because they're over the bay to Metropolis, he actually does like a James Bond ejector seat just before it's going to go off, and Superman comes past and grabs him. But nobody saw that off camera. So that's why
you winded me up. So, okay, so the serious point, right? One of the best things I think Nolan did was, you know, rally against this idea of a shared universe. So there is no Superman in this universe. There's no Aquaman. Because in this scenario, you know, where, you know, Gotham's been completely taken over for however long, well, Superman just fucking fly in and just sort it all out. You know, take the nuclear bomb, throw it into the sun. Happy days. You're sorted. So yeah, you had to take all those chess pieces off the board. That, for me, was brilliant. And that is what I love about The Dark Knight is how it's, apart from the voice, broadly believable. You know, these are just people. They've got costumes and maybe a little bit of a mental health issue. But you could believe that most of this stuff could happen. Whereas in this one, there's just too much. There's too many leaps of faith that just don't make sense to me. And so it goes from being something that was grounded, like Batman Begins, like Dark Knight, it was grounded and you could kind of believe, you know, with a bit of a squint in the eye and, you know, a bit of a leap of faith, you could believe it could happen. But with this one, for me at least, it's just too much. It's too much of a leap of faith and I just don't buy it.
No, and I think that the ending's supposed to be subjective anyway. I do agree. I think what you hit on is what I always say, Dave. When you do an origin movie, I don't want fucking other superheroes in it. You know, like, obviously, when they did Civil War, we know it was, you know, it was called Captain America Civil War. We know in the comics there was far more superheroes in it, but it wasn't. It was basically the Avengers minus four and the Hulk. Everyone else was in it out of the Avengers. So I get it. I will say, you're right. I said it on the Aquaman review. There's a scene there at the start in the when he's in the bar, he's going down the front with his dad along the seafront, and everything's been destroyed. And I'm like, well, this isn't a universe where Superman is. Superman would have been there to stop all this. So I do agree. And that's where, when you do a shared universe, I think you can pick more holes in stuff straight away. I literally think you can. I think it's ridiculous because you're like, well, why has Superman not just flew over and done this? Or why, you know, it's like, especially when, like you're saying, this has gone on for so many days. Superman would have just come in and took some fucking names, you know, and then that would have been it. Bane, he just snaps in a twig because he was only human. Yeah. He wasn't like he was a superhero. So, yeah, I think that's a great point. I think you're right with that. And it doesn't make sense how it ends. But I know that they did say that. Some were saying it wasn't necessarily the way it ended. It was the ending everybody expected. But was it a dream sort of thing? I mean, of the Alfred stuff and that. No. I don't know. Let's not get into that, Dave. We'll be here on
Was it a Bobby Ewing dream? Alfred just wakes up. Oh, hello, Master Bruce.
but he wakes up after fucking Thingy woke up. Martha and Dingy's still alive.
Yeah, Martha, Thomas Wayne.
Thomas Wayne are alive. And then we get another backstory about how they get killed a different way. Instead of down an alleyway at the back of the Opera House, they get killed in a subway, Dave, by two gangbangers. It's a totally different story to take
two
on.
Two gangbangers?
Yeah, gangs in America. That's gangbangs, that's what they call them. But it's a different take on it completely. Anyway, fair Dave, enough. We'll be in all fucking night. Let's get into the review, eh?
Let's go.
I'm going to go first on this because I know full well you're going to absolutely nail this to the cross. So, for me, my favourite of the trilogy, I love The Dark Knight, I love Batman Begins. This, for me, everything I need in a movie. The ingredients are there. The superhero's downtrodden. I've had to be Rocky comparisons. He gets back up. He has to find something, that inner strength. He's got a bit slack. He's got lazy in the 8 years he's been out of action. He's got old. He's been warned and he's loads of red flags there, but he still thinks he can do it. A bit like a professional athlete gets to a point in the career, they still think they can run as fast and do stuff they can't, but you just simply can't. Your body, age, just, you know, grandfather time does not lie to any of us. And I think that's what I love about this, is it's just everything I want. You know, even the Superman 2 beats, Dave, you know, he gives up his powers and gets dicked by that guy in the diner and then has to go and get, you know, go back and get his powers because it's General Zod. You know, it's weird. It's that, for me, it's just perfect superhero movie. Any film, really. I love it. So I can overlook Christian Bale's voice. I love Tom Hardy's Bane voice. I absolutely love it. I think it's more his than anything. There is holes in it. We've had a laugh and we've picked stuff out. And I'm definitely sticking to my Christian Bale argument, Dave, because anybody listening to this can come at me on this. It'd be a great discussion with the guys, but I'm purely as a moviegoer, I'm saying Christian Bale. However, I can't find any faults with it, Dave. I'm sorry. I just absolutely love it. It's a few nitpicks, but it's going to Asgard. And it isn't, I'd say, it's probably, in my, like you said before, it's probably my top three superhero movies of all time. I think Endgame is the ultimate for me, still is. I absolutely, nothing's hit my heartstrings as much as that. But this is probably two or three. Probably Superman 2 is number two. It's probably three. Amazing film. So go on, Dave. Hit me with it. Let's hear it.
Hit me with your rhythm stick. So I'm sure, you know, and if you're listening and you want to hear our Batman Begins and Dark Knight review, Dark Knight's reviews, then go into our back catalogue and they are there. I'm sure I said at the time, though, certainly when Batman Begins came out, that was a massive surprise for me. Because when Batman 1989 came out, you know, that was a more gothic kind of take, and then Batman Returns came out, that was also Tim Burton, and that was all, that got even more dark. But then there was a whole switch, you know, and under Schumacher, basically they went back almost to Batman 66, you know, the very much, you know, jokey kind of, certainly when I can't help but feel like, you know, when George Clooney gets out the bat card, the bat credit card, you know, that is one of the worst moments for me. So I'd kind of switched off the whole Batman franchise. And then Batman Begins for me was just a massive surprise. And then it was only when I'd watched that, you were thinking like, well, you know what? Actually, I do want to explore more of kind of how did he get to become Batman? And so taking you through that journey, and, you know, it plays on a lot of beats of like Batman Year One, you know, because it's not just, you know, parents are killed and then he's Batman. You know, it sort of filled in a lot of those gaps and it made it really grounded. And the fact that it was in his own universe, then that meant that, you know, you didn't have to wonder, okay, well, shouldn't Superman just come in and sort it out? Or, you know, so I liked all of that. Absolutely loved Dark Knight as well. So this trilogy had all of the potential to be one of the greatest trilogies there had ever been. And I just think this is just a massive disappointment. I think, you know, they've took that element of being grounded. And this is not a short movie, is it? This is nearly 3 hours long. And I can't help but feel it just didn't have to be that long at all. It seemed to labor for me. You know, I did say, you know, as great as I think Dark Knight is, I do feel like there's probably a bit of fat in that could have been trimmed as well. But, you know, it just, I don't know, it kind of plodded along. There's lots of plot holes, or not plot holes, but just leaps of faith where things just don't really make sense, or these massive coincidences. I do keep coming back to this movie. Like I say, I probably watched it on the order of 10 times or something like that. So, you know, I do keep going back to it. And each time I keep thinking, you know what, I think I might be being harsh. You know, I might be thinking about my expectations about when I first wanted to watch this, and it was a massive disappointment for me. So let me give it another chance and we'll go back and we'll see if it stands up. And this time, again, I just kind of strapped myself in, went along for the ride. You know, I had a glass of wine watching it as well. And I did genuinely kind of enjoy it. But the more I kind of think about it, it just doesn't make sense. And I guess you could say, well, yeah, but it's fucking Batman. It's a guy running around this massive city in a bat suit thinking he can take on all the criminals. All right. It should never make sense. But I don't know. For me, it takes that that those first two movies, and then it just becomes ridiculous. And, you know, I keep poking fun about the bad voice, but it just gets worse and worse as it goes on. And so, yeah, I do like Bane. Again, I do think fondly of it. You know, Tom Hardy is a bit of a British national treasure, isn't he? He's just a brilliant actor. And, you know, I think whoever does Bane on the big screen next probably is going to have to copy what Tom Hardy did. I think he's made that, you know, his kind of iconic role. That probably is now going to become Bane. Mention the Harley Quinn series as well. You know, he's got the Bane voice in that. So, yeah, I kind of, there are things I like about it. But I just think, Chris, like your mum used to say, you know, or your dad, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. And I just think that this could have been so much more than it was. I think this could have been one of the greatest trilogies, again, for me personally. But because of this movie, I think it's not. It's just not quite hit the mark for me. But it's watchable. I'll definitely watch this again at some point. I'll probably give it a few years now. It's no Hulk the Slayer. But I think I'm going to put it right in the middle, because there's lots good about this. But there's also lots that's not good about it as well. So I'm going to put it in a Hall of Justice, Chris. Right in the middle. It is very good. On IMDb, what is it? It is, I had it before, it's 8.4. So I'm in the minority, to be fair, on this one. You know, on our scale, that'd be like, you know, at least a Pleasantville, wouldn't it? A Pleasantville, fucking hell, it's not VHS Strikes Back, is it?
No.
It will be at least an Atlantis, you know, and possibly an Asgard. So, but for me, this remains a big letdown in the trilogy. And so I just can't let go of that disappointment.
I was going to do an impression, Dave, but I'm actually deeply disappointed in what you just said. So, anyway.
I thought you were going to go like, fuck you.
Very good. If you want to get in contact with me and Dave, at Comics in Motion P on Twitter. If you want to email us, thecomicsinmotionpodcast@gmail.com. And also, as we always say now, we have so many shows on the Comics in Motion Network. Get onto our normal podcasting feed, guys, and there's something for everyone. It really is fantastic, the amount of people creating stuff on the channel now. So there's literally a podcast every day, so you have no excuses. It's going to be something you're into. So yeah, Dave, fantastic. I loved it. I love this today. Really good. Even the shit impressions by me. Yours were actually pretty good. Mine were just terrible.
I'll tell you in the editing.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.
We can't just finish it on a whim after all those shit impressions.
I've been looking at lines, Dave, and I just can't see any that are good. I've been sat here looking as you were doing your review, thinking about what can I use? Hang on.
So, oh no, they got it all the way around. So, Chris, do you not want to tell us about some of the others of those shows on Comics in Motion?
Yes, I do, David. We have Indie Comics Spotlight with Tony Farina. We have Max Byrne, Mandatory Marvel versus DC. We have, what do we have, David? I always lose it at this point because I'm
Let's not forget we got Superheroes for Dummies. We've talked about mainly Batman, but and some other guys as well, but I don't care about them. Mainly Batman.
that was more sort of Val Kilmer there, Dave. But anyway,
we also have Star Wars Comics in Canon by Mike Burton, and we may have more to come, David.
You know what, Chris? I should have bumped this one up one point, because this whole trilogy is the most kind of, well, what's a way to describe it? It's got some of the most iconic lines that you just can't help but want to make impressions of them. Yeah. So, you know, fair play to it for that. I should have marked it up for a point for that. So most memeable or impressionable kind of lines. But anyway.
I've got one last line that's going to take us
go on.
To the
go on.
from the League of Shadows. I'm here to fulfill Ra's al Ghul's destiny.
Goodbye.
Excuse me, I'm Eric Lentra.
Charles Xavier.
Go fuck yourself.
What in the
ass? You hear all that?
I know.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound.
Let's not stand on ceremony here, Mr. Wayne.
Would you care to step outside?
Come to me, son of Jor-El! Kneel before Zod!
Why so serious? Let's put a smile on that face.
I am Iron Man.
I'm Batman.
And he?
Whoa!
Hey!